From chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We've just heard four passages from the Holy Scripture. We first heard God giving instructions to Isaiah, asking him to speak tenderly to the people. Give comfort to my hurting people. Psalm 23 spoke about the valley of the shadow of death with the divine promise that God, our shepherd, is with us when we're in such a valley. We heard the promises in Psalm 23 that God comforts us, God feeds us, God anoints us, God overflows our lives with goodness and mercy. And then we heard Paul say in no uncertain terms that nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will separate us from God's love, including death. And finally, we heard from the gospel account of John. This is John's version of the Christmas story. There's no mention, though, of mangers or angels or shepherds. John speaks of God's Word. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And of course, the Word that became flesh is Jesus. The Word become flesh is light, the light of the world. The light that shines in the darkness. The light that darkness cannot overcome. Let's talk about darkness a bit. I wonder about those gathered here today in this church building. What is your darkness? What do you need comfort for? What are you grieving? Whose death are you remembering? What happened in your life to make you blue or sad or even depressed? Are you blue, sad, or depressed some of the time? Most of the time? All the time? How much darkness is in your life? Has something or someone broken your heart? What causes you to cry? What prevents you from crying when you need to cry? What happened to you to forever change the Christmas season for you? Sometimes when I lead prayer, I suggest that we all gather our prayers together, that we unite our hearts and our minds and our souls in a God connection. But tonight I'm going to suggest something different. Think about gathering all of our sadness, all of our grief. Think about all who are gathered here tonight, gathering together our pain, our broken hearts, our fears, our sadness, our depression, gathering that all together. And that can be profoundly overwhelming. It's overwhelming for one person. It can be very overwhelming when we gather them together. It's a pool of grief and pain. And this pool of grief and pain is nothing like the celebration of the Christmas season in the world. This pool of grief and pain that we're talking about now might not even seem very much like the church's celebration of Christmas. The pool of grief and pain is certainly very far removed from the commercial part of our culture's celebration of Christmas. There's almost a cruel expectation or demand in our culture that we always be joyful. The world is shouting at us, smile, it's Christmas. But some don't feel like smiling. Be merry. Not everyone can be merry in this season. I'm not here tonight, and I don't believe God is here tonight to get rid of that darkness or to discount our pain. The message tonight is not don't be sad, don't be depressed, don't grieve, don't cry. The message is that God is here tonight to acknowledge and to receive our grief and our sadness. God is here tonight to bring some anointing and some healing to the pain. God is here tonight to love you just as you are. This is God's honest truth. God is with us in this pool of pain and grief. God's arms are big enough to wrap around this pool of grief and pain that's present in this room tonight. A side point, if I may. If you as an individual are experiencing low levels of darkness and pain, it's really important that you care for and love those who are having high levels of darkness and pain, because that's the heart of God, to care and to love those who are hurting. The Word became flesh, not just for the happy parts of being human. The Word became flesh. The Word became human to enter into everything that it means to be human, including death. Now, this is the first time that I've ever attended a Blue Christmas service, let alone bringing the message. So, of course, I did some research. My eye caught a sermon titled, catch this, "There's No Such Thing as Blue Christmas." I agree with the sermon's emphasis. The emphasis of that sermon was that Jesus is the light of the world and that our lives should focus on Jesus. But people, we need to make space in the church, in our lives, for sadness. We need to allow ourselves and others to feel and express the sadness that's within us. It's wrong, I believe, to say that we shouldn't have sadness at Christmas. We need to make space for that, which is what we're doing tonight. And I think it's really bad to say somehow that it's wrong to have sadness at Christmas. So there is such a thing as blue Christmas. There is such a thing as emotional pain and depression during the season. We don't have to feel merry and bright tonight to be connected to God. We don't have to feel merry and bright tonight to have spiritual maturity. We most certainly certainly don't have to feel merry and bright for God to love us. We're supposed to be real with God. We're supposed to honestly tell God what we're feeling. We can complain to God. We can lament. We can scream and yell if we need to God. We can cry. We need to tell God exactly what life is like for us. We don't have to hold anything back. Don't hold anything back from God. We need to be real in our relationship with God. My wife's youngest son, Jeff, died on September 2nd, 2020. It was a Wednesday. Every Wednesday is especially difficult for Joe. At some point, every Wednesday, I give Joe a Wednesday hug to recognize her pain and to show her that I care. 2 days ago, as the hug ended, I asked her this. "So is your grief over now?" As if my hug would take away her grief. No, of course not. When God wraps God's loving arms around us, when God hugs us in our grief, when God gives us light in the darkness, our grief isn't over. God doesn't give us grace and peace and then ask, "Okay, are you all right now? You're all better now?" No, God. No, I'm not okay. And God says, "I know." God knows. Jesus doesn't remove every darkness. Jesus doesn't come in shining some light, magically making us merry and bright. Doesn't work that way. But Jesus does bring light. Jesus does bring light. Jesus wants the best for us and gives the best for us. He gives himself for us. Jesus gives us space to grieve and to cry. Jesus gives us space to lament. Jesus even gives us space to be angry. But Jesus never abandons us. Never. Jesus loves us. But sometimes it's just plain hard to see the light of Jesus. Even though it's there, even when we believe it's there, sometimes it's hard to see it. Sometimes it's just plain hard to feel the love of God. But it's here. The love of God is here. We don't have to feel it. The love of God is here. I'm going to borrow from my bishop's email, which I received yesterday. The bishop has a cat named Hope. And the bishop sometimes calls out to his family, "Where's Hope?" And sometimes he'll hear a tongue-in-cheek response from a family member, "There's no hope here." Dear people of God, there's times where we really honestly feel that about life. There's no hope here. But there is. There is hope. There is Emmanuel. There is God with us. There is Jesus. There is the light of the world. The Word became flesh and dwells among us. There is hope in our crucified and risen Lord. God's good news is that we will not sit in the darkness forever. We are not without hope. The light of eternity is already shining upon us now. Tonight we bring our grief, our pain, our brokenness, whatever it be, including the grief, pain, and suffering of people that we know who aren't here tonight. We bring that to Jesus. We bring it to the foot of the cross. And here at the foot of the cross, Jesus receives our grief and our pain and our brokenness and our struggles. And even at the foot of the cross, the light of the resurrection shines upon us. So there is hope. There is light. There is love. There is Jesus. Let's end our message in prayer with a simple phrase where God is speaking to us. God is saying to us, I am with you. I invite you to pray this way for the next 9 days. Focus your mind and heart now upon a loved one in your life who has died. Focus on that person or persons. Breathe and hear God say, I am with you. Focus your mind and heart on each person in this room tonight. Gather in all the grief and pain. Breathe and hear God speaking to you. I am with you. Focus your mind and heart upon people who are depressed, deeply depressed, even those who are suicidal. Focus on them. Breathe. Hear God speak. I am with you. Focus your minds and hearts upon someone who is lonely. Breathe. And hear God speak. I am with you. Focus your mind and heart upon someone who is anxious about Christmas planning and preparations and gift buying. Breathe. Hear God speaking. I am with you. Focus your mind and hearts upon someone in a difficult or bad relationship that's putting a damper on this season. Focus on them. Breathe. And hear God speaking, I am with you. Focus your mind and heart upon someone you know that is sick or suffering or in pain. Focus on that person or persons. Breathe. And hear God speaking. I am with you. And now full circle. Focus your mind and heart upon a loved one in your life who has died. Focus on them again. Focus on your grief and breathe and hear God speak. I am with you. People of God, God is speaking to us tonight. I am with you. God is speaking.